You see me have you work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. So me better work, 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 work. When you walk a line, line.
Welcome to WitWorks Radio. Today we are excited to bring you a recently recorded interview with the Dean of Wentworth's College of Engineering and Computer Science, Fred Driscoll. Robin Beauchamp, Director of Co-ops and Careers, and Abby Pober, Assistant Director for Systems and Marketing at Co-ops and Careers, sat down with Dean Driscoll to ask him all about the changes he has seen since joining the Institute 54 years ago. Here is their chat now.
And it was actually in about 56 that the school changed to give, almost a junior college, to give associate degrees. And those associate degrees were the popular things right through the 60s, where we really grew in a lot of technology programs.
So what type of certificate programs do you remember back then, what kind of things they would earn?
They would earn the Associate in Applied Science degree or Associate in Engineering degree. There were different programs at that time. The Associate in Engineering degree was 2 years, and the Associate in Applied Science for a different math level was for 2 years.
And this was in the 1950s?
These were in the 1960s.
In the 1960s.
1960s, and actually that carried right through to the 1970s. But in the late 60s, Wentworth College of Technology started, and actually it started in 1970. So there were two corporations here. There was Wentworth Institute that awarded the associate degrees, and there was Wentworth College of Technology that awarded the third and fourth year, they awarded the bachelor's degrees. So we had two institutions, and there was a college building across the street in Huntington Avenue where 555 is at this time, and that's been, you know, removed and everything. It wasn't until 1977 that the Wentworth Institute and Wentworth College of Technology formed one corporation, and that was, and it is now, Wentworth Institute of Technology. What you know now is Wentworth Institute of Technology.
Wow.
But the associate degrees stayed. The associate degrees did not go away. Wentworth was a 2+2 institution. First 2 years, the students earn an associate degree, and then they apply to the third and fourth year to earn a Bachelor of Science degree. And it wasn't until about 1993 that we eliminated the associate degree and the day program, because students were enrolling up for only 4 years, and therefore only 4 year programs were offered. The associate degree was no longer offered after 2 years.
Wow. And remind us again the year that you started working at Wentworth?
In 1965.
And what was the percentage of men to women at that point?
100% men, 0% women.
Oh my gosh.
What year did Wentworth start accepting women?
It turned out coeducational in 1972.
Wow.
And that was, now you have to remember really what happened at that time. The year before, and the president went to the Board of Trustees to change the will of Area Wentworth, because the will had it as an all-male school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the charter had to be changed. The will had to be broken, and the charter had to be changed. The Board of Trustees in there turned it down the first time the president came along with that idea. The president pursued, and the board changed the next year. And then in 1972, we started to admit the women.
Do you remember what changed their mind?
I think it finally convinced them that, yes, 50% or more of the population of the world is women, and eventually you've got to change. But maybe it also turned out to be that some of the board members changed. Older board members may have left, and some of the new board members may have come on, and that might have changed the institute in that case. So that's where it started. Of course, the co-op education program started in 1975.
Yes.
So the 70s were a change here at Wentworth. But again, it was still a 2+2 institution, the associate degree and the bachelor's degree.
So what was it like working here during that significant time of change, or the time of significant change. And, I mean, do you remember what your colleagues were thinking about? Oh my gosh, first they're going to allow in women, now they have this co-op program. I mean, what was some of the conventional thinking back then?
Well, I think a lot of things were happening in Boston, in and around the world. Of course, Vietnam was still there in the early 70s, and that was it. Busing in Boston was a major issue around in everybody. And so there was a lot of change around Boston, around the country, and certainly at Wentworth at that time. Things started to coalesce in terms of bringing the Institute and the college together. As I said, there were two corporations. It was all the same board, but there were two corporations under those.
And at that time in the 1960s, 1970s, were there any students living on campus, or was it 100% commuting?
No, there was. There were students living on campus in Evans Way. At that time, I would probably say at the most 20% of the population were probably living on campus, and it might have even been less than that. So it really wasn't until the 1990s that we really switched over from a commuter school to a residential school, when you started to think about what happened with putting up 610, then eventually 555 came along and 525 came along. But when 610 was started and built, that really started to change Wentworth. And of course, the entire neighborhood was beginning to change.
Sure.
In this area, quite a bit.
Now, was Baker Hall before 610?
Yes, Baker Hall was there before 610. Before Baker Hall, as I was just saying, it was Mickelson Hall that was there. And that building we had taken over as from a car dealership. I believe it was a Buick car dealership that was in. And we
really?
Converted that building into a classroom laboratory space. Mickelson Hall was taken down to put up Baker Hall.
Wow.
At that time. And of course, the gas station was still up there at the corner where 610 is now. And of course, a gas station was across the street where 525 is at this time.
I didn't realize there was a gas station. So on the corner of where 610 is, it's Ward Street in Huntington?
That's correct. There was a gas station there, and there were two across the street. One, a Texaco station at the corner of Huntington and Ruggles, where 525 is, and there was another gas station about where 525 is right now. That gas station was taken out to put up a building called the College Building, and that's where the third and fourth year classes were taught.
Really?
And they went with College of Technology. That was the first in the 1970-1971.
Wow.
Yeah. So that building we've taken down. And that building, that college building, was the last academic building built before this new one that's opening next week.
Wow.
There's the 40-year difference.
That is huge.
Yeah.
So when you first started working here, did you come in as a faculty member?
Yes. Yes, I was never a student here. I was a faculty member. Before I came here, I worked for the government in Washington, D.C.
Really? Doing what?
It was called the Rural Electrification Administration, REA. It was under a division of the Department of Agriculture. And how REA started was in the 1930s, there was no electricity in the farms in the Midwest and West. And the government wanted them to be brought electricity. But private corporations didn't want to bring any electricity out there because they didn't say, I'm not going to bring a line out to a farm and I have to run up 10 miles a line or 2 miles a line to a farm. So the federal government under FDR started rural electrification. And they started co-ops to generate electricity and to distribute it to the farmers. And of course, once they did that, the farms became electrified, the milking machines and everything else like that. That area, REA, has really dissolved and all, it's gone all private now. But I used to work for that division because it was still there in the 1960s.
Wow. So when you came to Wentworth, what was your what did you teach? What was your academic discipline?
Electronics. And it's funny, the class sizes that you had were, I would end up with three classes of a class size of anywhere from 44 to 48 students.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
Yes.
And were there labs going on too that you'd have to teach with that many people?
That's correct. The labs were,
oh my God.
And the structure of the community at that time was that those 48 students stayed together as a unit in math, in English, in humanities, in their technical courses. It was blocked in that way. It was severely criticized by accreditors and things like that, and that's eventually how it broke down.
Well, it's funny you say that. Last year I got to speak to people who were here for their 50th class reunion, and they did say it was at that time almost like high school, where classes all started at 8 a.m., and everything was very structured, and they would be done at, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 in the afternoon. But
there were actually two time periods. You had classes on a schedule called 8 to 4 or a schedule 9 to 5. So depending on what your section was, you were either here at 8, you went to 4, or you were here at 9 and you went to 5. So everything was structured in that case. It was a very paternalistic society.
Yes.
There was no question about it.
So if you came in as a first-year student, would you stay with the same group of people all 4 years?
No, you'd only be here for two. This was the associate degree.
Oh,
remember.
Okay.
So in that case, the next year you might have a different students.
Okay.
Most like the electronic engineering technology program, one of them, we had different tracks because of different math levels. There might be 160 students, so it would be broken down into like four sections.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Abby, do you have any, I'm sorry, I keep asking all these questions and not quite sure if I'm...
This is super interesting. So how many students about were... were attending Wentworth at the time?
Oh, approximately about 2,000, I think.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, there was electronics, there was mechanical, there was civil, there was a lot of other technology programs that have passed away.
sure.
As I say, I think our front lawn has a lot of graves of different programs that have gone away. You know, we had separate programs of welding. We had separate programs of industrial design. Our manufacturing was a separate entity as a program.
Mm.
We had several of those different categories.
Interesting.
You know, we even had one for a very, very short period of time, dental technology.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. We had aerospace? Aircraft maintenance or aircraft propulsion areas and that. And there were two different parts of it. And in the mechanical area, there would be like mechanical energy, mechanical design areas, separate programs, you know, that were there. But those have kind of merged emerged into our mechanical engineering technology program, and then, of course, all our technology programs have been, except for a couple that are still there, all taught out, and it's all engineering programs now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we've already kind of talked a little bit about the campus and the gas stations and things like that. How else have you seen the campus evolve, either the kinds of people that come here or physically?
Well, Robin, when I came here, you were on home plate. You were sitting on home plate.
What does that mean?
This was a baseball diamond right here.
No.
Beatty Hall was a diamond, and I was just telling Abby that there is a foul line on one of the buildings, if you can find it. Still there. Of course, this building wasn't here, Tansy Gym wasn't here, and the back area was the athletic area. And Wilson Hall was referred to as the nuclear building because it was built in 1960 when nuclear engineering technology was an in, and not a dirty word, but it was an in. So nuclear power was the way to go in the early 60s. And that way, in 1960, Wilson Hall was built. But before that, Wilson Hall was not there.
So it was really only what is currently Wentworth Hall and Dobbs?
No, Dobbs in Williston was there.
Okay.
You know, and Kingman was there. You know, Kingman got added on, and then Wilson got added on in 1960. Wilson was added in 1960. But Sweeney Field was a parking lot for students to park, and a kind of a dirt area was a grass field on closer to Huntington Avenue. But the entrance of Wentworth was actually, why it's 550 Huntington Avenue, is because the entrance actually is out at the end of the soccer field in the far left-hand corner by Huntington Avenue in the building that is owned by Northeastern right now. But there was a gate there. That was a gate that was the entrance to Wentworth Institute.
Really?
And the walkway went all the way down, and before Ruggles Street was cut in, and this was long before, you know, it would have been the entrance all the way in. So if you look out of the entrance at the door of Wentworth Hall, there was a walkway down, then there was Ruggles Street, but across the other way was the walkway, and the gate was all the way down at the far end of the soccer field.
I never knew that.
It was taken down because the soccer field needed that extra corner space.
Wow. So are you saying, though, at one point Ruggles Street was not there?
Ruggles Street was not there when it was originally founded of that.
Interesting.
Wow.
But if you look back, you know, but it was there even in World War One, because if you looked at the pictures, Sweeney Field, it was all covered with tents for training soldiers in World War One.
Wow.
But so that, you know, but what really happened in to the benefit of this whole area was, if you look at, I'll go all the way back to Route 93, and if you come out of the, if you look at 93 coming in, right before you get onto the Zakim Bridge, there looks like there's a big off-ramp, and there was. What was called the Inner Belt would have come all the way through, cut through the Fenway area, and right down Ruggles Street, right onto Wentworth's property, and to the southeast corridor right there.
Okay.
The southwest corridor, I guess. And the governor, Frank Sargent at the time, stopped all of that. So it really preserved this. It really preserved the Fenway area. And it made the southwest corridor there a beautiful area to walk on and things like that. So it really helped and benefited it. Otherwise, it was just going to be part of that central artery that was up there before the O'Neill Tunnel.
Really?
Yeah.
So this whole area was going to be nothing but off-ramps?
It was going to be an off-ramp right across, right on the street, right up there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for
Sargent. Yeah, it really was. It stopped that. And there was a lot of, obviously, political moves and everything of that. But that really made. And now you see Huntington Avenue is really changed tremendously over the years.
Yes.
And in called Avenue of the Arts or something, is it?
Yes.
So it really has changed. The whole area has changed. And it's tied together from the medical community all the way right down to the PRU is really tied together much better. The South End is so much changed and everything.
So across the street on Parker Street, we have what is the Annex and
Ira Allen.
Yeah. What were those when you first started working here?
The Ira Allen was a grammar school, and in the Annex was Boston Trade.
A different school?
A different school, yes.
A high school?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was a high school. It was a Boston Trade school. That's correct.
And at what point did Wentworth buy them?
I believe... I don't have the exact dates, but I believe it was in the 70s and 80s. Wow. 74 one. I should... One of the deals, one of the commitments that Wentworth made when purchasing, I believe it was the Ira Allen School. Ira Allen was used as a voting school for the community.
Hmm.
And if you notice that next week, I am sure that either the Boston Trade or the Ira Allen, I think it'll be in the Boston Trade right now, a voting booth, voting area for the community.
Really?
Yes, yeah. That's our commitment still stands for that. And it was done in the primary. I believe they used the Casella Gallery as part of the voting area.
That's fabulous. I had no idea.
No.
So we'll be seeing a lot of community members on campus
on
Tuesday.
You probably will. Political science outside.
That's fabulous. Now, I've heard rumor that years ago, and I think I heard this again from alums, that in the around the back of our building that we're in currently, which is Beatty Hall, there used to be large fences, like with chain links and maybe, you know, things like that.
Yes, there was a lot of fencing around. And, you know, the 1970s, there was a lot of trying to get security and everything like that. Really what it made the school and it made different areas look more like prisons sometimes than really what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
What's really happened right now is they've taken all those fences down, and most schools have, and opened it up, and the school is part of the community.
Yes.
Looked as part of the community. Wentworth maintains its grounds very, very well. And I think that is, for an urban school, you have to do that and make it look attractive.
Sure.
And Wentworth, surprisingly, does very, very well. And what I've seen from other schools is one of the first things that goes when a school is having trouble is how it looks from the outside. And if you notice that Wentworth always does heavy planting, and it makes it look very attractive to
mm-hmm.
the neighborhood.
Yeah. And luckily we are doing very well. We have
so
many students applying to come here and great students being admitted. We just saw that ourselves recently in some of our events on how well the students were doing and what all of our employers have to say about our students. So,
yeah,
speaking of students, and aside from women being added to the population, how have you seen the student change here since you've been here?
Oh, one of the things that I think has always been for Wentworth students is they are very, very collaborative,
mm-hmm.
very cooperative with one another. I don't think that has changed. I certainly see the academic level has changed considerably. But my first thing is, I think they support one another very, very well. I've seen students in design teams that have gone to travel, like to University of Vermont. Their friends will go up to support them. And that's really nice. And also I've seen students say, well, I don't have that pot, or you don't have that pot, but I have that pot, and I know where you can get other things, and here it is. I think they're very helpful to one another. It's not a school that, and I know because of some of the Ivies, that students will go from the class the library to their dorm back to study, but will not cooperate with one another because often they fear that somebody will get ahead of them. I don't see that happening. I've never seen that happening at Wentworth. I've seen much more collaboration with one another and willing to work and willing to help one another than that other type of school.
That's fabulous.
This is the first thing I noticed about our students when I got to campus here and started working at Wentworth, was how collaborative and supportive our students are of each other.
That's so true.
It's so rare.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is just walking in the hallway and overhearing conversations from students, and they're usually about a test they just took, an equation, a project. It's usually something very academic. I never hear people talking about the last party they went to, or who's dating who, or any of that. It's always work-related. And I mentioned that to someone, and they're like, it sounds like you work at the Big Bang Theory. You know, it's just like those, really, those, these students are so committed to their success, but not to the detriment of other people. When you were talking, Fred, just now, I kept thinking, they are not cutthroat. I mean, I think in some schools, people deliberately damage other people's projects so they won't succeed, and we don't see that at all here.
No, I never see that. I see students helping other students take their projects to the design showcases and things of that nature.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah,
that
it really
is fabulous.
Yeah.
What do you think for yourself? I mean, you've seen, you know, the 60s, the 70s, gosh, the 80s.
The 80s, 90s, and 2000. Yes, I've seen it all.
Oh, you have. Were you here with all the hype around Y2K? And for our listeners who don't know what that means, it was the year 2000 when it was predicted that all the computer systems would crash because nobody thought to program the year 2000 into them. It was going to end, everything was going to end 12/31/1999.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember people taking money out of the bank because they thought the banks wouldn't be able to get it.
Right. Did Wentworth go to any extremes for
Y2K?
I
don't think they did.
Okay,
yeah,
you don't remember?
The computer systems kicked over all right.
Yeah, our computer science students didn't try to solve all the problems.
No. Computer science was very popular, and then there was a big drop, then it really came back, and now it's really back up again with the number of students that are applying to it. And in our new program that's coming on next year, cybersecurity, will be very, very interesting.
Absolutely.
I know the board hasn't voted completely on that, but I think they will. And I think it should be a very, very popular program.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we really need that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
really do.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have any favorite memories of your time here, whether, you know, a student or a staff member or an event or anything like that?
Case Robin, it's all there. I mean, I think I've enjoyed every day I came. And if I didn't, I would never have come back. You know, I would have left. You know, I actually came only for 2 or 3 years. But I guess it was the students, it was the faculty, that I worked with, and allowed me to do what I wanted to do. I mean, I was able to write, 15 books over the time.
Wow.
And if I wasn't doing administration right now, I'd probably be back doing that again, and I probably will when I leave in the spring. So it allowed me to do what I wanted to do. A lot of places that I got recruited for were companies that no longer exist. Digital Equipment Corporation, Data General, Prime, Wang, all those mini computer companies that were so popular in the 70s and 80s failed to see the microprocessor and microcomputer coming along. And when I went to those companies to ask them whether we should start a computer engineering technology program, to a person, they said, microcomputers will never be popular. The idea of a microcomputer on every desk or in every home is an absurd idea. It'll never exist.
Oh,
don't worry about it. Your program, I wouldn't start. But Wentworth went ahead with it. We probably graduated in 25 years. I know we have phased it out, or just about phased it out, because it became our computer engineering program. But we probably graduated 1,100 or 1,200 students out of that program over the 25 years that it was in existence or more. It started in 1980. It was in 1978 and 79 when those companies were saying, microcomputers is a toy. It's not going to be there.
If they had only hired you, Fred, they'd still be in business today.
What really surprised us was, we took a gamble to start the program, but what really surprised us in the end is how these companies, which were started because they broke off, started things that IBM and Honeywell, only big mainframe computers would do,
mm-hmm.
they didn't see the trend coming, and they refused to see it until it was too late.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course.
And we had hundreds and hundreds of students who worked for those companies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
What was it that made you decide to come to Wentworth in the first place from the government?
I wanted to do some other things at there when I was down there. And at that time, when I looked around, they said they didn't want, it was kind of like somebody had their own little niche and they wanted to keep it.
Mm.
I loved Washington, D.C. when I was there. I still do. I think it's a fabulous city. I was walking up the stairs of the building, and it was a great place to work, because when I used to work there, I lived in the northwest section of Washington. I would come down and right through Georgetown, right in front of the White House, because you could do that at that time, right to the Washington Monument and just walk down 14th Street. But the job was not what I wanted to do. I had a lot of colleagues that came down there too, but I was walking up the steps of the building one day and I said, I don't want to be here. And I was out of there in 2 weeks.
Good for you.
And I had seen an ad for teaching at Wentworth. And I said, well, if that job is still open, I'm going to apply. I probably won't get it, but I applied. That's, I guess, is history, because that was back in 65.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I guess they were desperate looking for somebody.
Oh, my gosh. And they hired you? You had to come up to Boston for
an
interview?
I had to come to Boston because my family lived in Everett, so they were close by. So I came up, I interviewed, and they hired me, and I left D.C.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in the Boston area?
Yes. Yeah, I grew up in Everett, went to school at Merrimack, did graduate work at Northeastern.
Oh, my gosh. So you're home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm basically in the same area. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're getting ready to retire when?
Well, you know, it's sometime in the spring, whenever they find the replacement. I should be out by the end of the spring semester at the latest.
Oh.
I said I'd go out sometime in January or whenever the replacement is found. That's okay.
And how does that feel?
Well, I think it's, you have mixed emotions, I think. And that is, one, yeah, I still have a lot of ideas and a lot of things that I would love to do, but really it's time to turn it over and move on. You know,
yeah.
Do something else. Maybe find a second career or a third career.
Well, I know some people in the career services office. We can help you figure that out. Do you think you'd stay involved here at Wentworth?
Yes, I would like to stay involved. On either one, we still have accreditation to do all coming up, accreditation team for next year. Provost said he'd still like me to work on that, and so I might be in for a day or two a week, maybe working on that. I think I probably wouldn't mind being on, now it's no longer called the corporations, but it's called the University Advisory Committee,
mm-hmm.
or Council. I think I would like to be there. I would like to see what's happening at Wentworth. In terms of where we are in the college, I think you're going to see, we'll come along with more master's degrees and maybe a different structure for the master's degrees than what's presently offered in other colleges and universities. I think we have a great opportunity to do things differently and do them in a global environment.
Yeah. So I have one final question, which might be the big one, but what kind of advice could you give maybe a new faculty member?
You know, overall, one, obviously, the new faculty member probably knows the discipline and everything else. I think you have fun on it, what you're doing. Enjoy it. Be dedicated to it. I think that's probably it. You know, enjoy what you're doing, but really work at it. I think it's hard. I mean, every lecture I ever gave, I thought about almost every minute of what the lecture would look like to the students and anticipate what the students' questions would be, and then either entice them to bring that along or try to prompt them to ask the questions, think about this. But every lecture and every lab I had thought about well before I went into the lecture. But I had fun doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've done it for, I've done this probably 24/7 for over 50 years.
Wow.
Fortunately for our students.
For our students. I bet you you're a great faculty member. I wish I had seen you in action.
Maybe not.
Do you have advice for our students?
Yeah, enjoy. You know, take time to smell the flowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the last, what about for our current administration here at Wentworth? Advice from somebody who's seen so much.
Wentworth has so much potential to do things. They just have to have the intestinal fortitude to do it, to be willing to change, to go out on a limb and do it.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Well, I thank you so much.
Oh, this has been fun. Thanks for inviting
absolutely.
Me. I don't know if it's ever come across, but it's been a lot of fun for you. For me.
Oh, and we've enjoyed working with you so much. I can't believe that there's going to be a day when we're not going to call Dean Fred Driscoll and say, hey, I have a question for you, Fred. And but maybe I'll call you at home anyway, and we'll go
right.
out and have coffee.
That's right.
Well, listeners, thank you so much. This was Dean Fred Driscoll, who is the dean currently of the College of Engineering and Computer Science. I hope that when we do have our very fond farewell for him in the spring semester, you all come and wish him good luck as he starts his next career. And if you have any career ideas for him, I think he's open to all sorts of ideas. I don't know if skateboarding would be on that, but
no, as soon as I get my hips done, I'll be back into the cave.
Thank you again.
Thank
Thanks
you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much. Been enjoying.
Bye, everybody.
It.